to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. And I got my Bible that I've used for many years out tonight, so maybe I'll turn to the scripture properly tonight. I'm always turning to the different chapters. But tonight I want to share with you. Tonight's obviously a night where so many of us remember the Lord's suffering, his death, his betrayal, and whatnot. And I do. We're going to take a couple minutes to look at that. Remember, we read some scripture already. We'll read some more. But more importantly, I want you to realize tonight, too, that you're identified into his death, his burial, his resurrection. And not only so that, but you can truly be a living testimony to his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So I want to look at that tonight. Remember, too, that Paul many times, if you've been with us here in our services on Sunday mornings, we'll be going through Ephesians, and many times he tells us to look back. Like in Ephesians chapter 2, he'll say, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past he walked according to this world, according to the prince, the power of the air." But then later on, he goes on to remind us again who we are now. That we're a new creature, a new creation, created in true righteousness, true holiness. We're the church, the body of Christ. So he does call us to remember at times, but more importantly, to use that to live now in who we are. So let's look at this. Let's turn, I know I told you that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's where we'll mainly be at tonight. So bookmark that, but let's turn over to Psalm 22 for a second. Psalm 22, I'm just going to read 14 through 18, I think it is here. Or verse 13, "They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening of a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of the earth. For dogs have compassed me, and assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and they stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Let's go to open up a word of prayer. Lord, again, as we look to what your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did for us, may we be reminded of what all transpired through his death, his burial, and resurrection this weekend. But more importantly, realize what that means for us and how we should live today and as we go forward. So, Lord, let your word speak tonight and mold us more into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we are reminded of that suffering, we read some of that in our scripture reading. We just got done reading a little glimpse of that. And I'm sure many of you are tuned in online. You could easily Google, find even more readings of the suffering of Jesus Christ and all that transpired at his death. One other reminder, John. Turn over with me to John. John chapter 13. John 13, 21. This is kind of where it all started, down that road to his crucifixion. "When Jesus had thus said," this is at the end of the Lord's Supper, "he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. When, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Then Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sup, when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped it in the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered in unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doeth quickly. Look, notice in verse 30. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. As we look to one of the most celebrated holidays, which should be every day of our life, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as we remember what started that whole transaction that night, that betrayal of Judas, and how he had before already schemed and got money, 30 pieces of silver from the leadership of the nation. And he began to look for a way to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, when the time come, when you finally conceive the thought, say, I am going to do it now. What happened? Satan. What happened? He turned to darkness. Friend, if you're here tonight, as you hear and see so many services online, yes, I know you're not here physically, but here in spirit. But you'll hear so much about why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday and what it means for our risen Lord, that we have a God that lives, that He's not dead. He's the only God that's alive. He is the God. But if you're here tonight, you will be presented with truth tonight. You'll be presented with light, the same as Judas had, being in the presence of the light of the world, the God of love. And what does he do? He turns his back and loves darkness rather than the God of all love, the God of light right before him. And tonight, there is a wage for that. There is a wage. We are in darkness if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. When we leave this earth, the payment for our life, a life that is classified that we all sin, we all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're all in darkness. Judas turned from the light. Tonight, I'm going to give you the opportunity as we progress through this with fellow believers and look at suffering, the power in that. You have the opportunity tonight to turn out of darkness into light to the Lord Jesus Christ, who offers a free gift of salvation. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? It's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it truly is a wage. At the end of your life, if you leave this earth without being in Christ, you will have a payment for your reward of this life, the wages of this life. And because you're a sinner, you died in your sins, your payment will be death, eternal separation from the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, as we progress through, if you don't know the Lord, if you haven't trusted in Christ, if you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is simple tonight. I want you to think about this as we go through as believers and look at the power of suffering. Word of God makes it clear. We talk about how Jesus died. He did die. Why did he die? He shed his blood for us, for the remission of sins. It says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. It's simple, friend. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He offers a free gift, a payment for our sin debt. Our wages equals death, but he paid for our debt. And if you want the very righteousness of God imputed into you, you just need to simply believe. But for us as believers, tonight, back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul starts talking about something. Remember, I told you, we know the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. We can read so many verses that talk about how descriptive it was of what happened to him in his betrayal, the mocking, rending of his clothes, stripping him naked, doing all these things to him, beating him, and it can just go on. We can get into a lot of detail. But ultimately, that shed blood, the perfect sacrifice. But think about who we are. When Romans chapter 6, sorry, we will get to our text in 2 Corinthians. But Romans chapter 6, when it says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, therefore being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In Colossians chapter 2, we see again in verse 10, Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith and operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Just amazing that to know that the very payment that we were supposed to pay, the death that we were supposed to pay, Christ did. But the moment we place our faith in his finished work, his shed blood, we're truly identified in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So when God the Father looks down, he sees the very, we're complete. Read Ephesians chapter 1. It's just a glimpse of it. And that's a wonderful thing that we are truly a new creation, created in righteousness and true holiness. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now, a lot of people stress the first part of this, that part of this treasure in earthen vessels, we're this earthen vessels. We're frail. We break. We fail at times. We stumble. All these different things. But do we realize the very power of God that resides in us, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? Christ is also in us, the hope of glory. God the Father is in us. But it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us, that enlightens His Word to us, makes it alive in us, everything else in this earthen vessel. But Paul goes on to say something. He says, "We are troubled on every side." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Troubled on every side, but not distressed. Troubled on every side means to be pressed hard, hard pressed, to be crowded. Basically, you're completely encamped of troubles. Now, granted, not every day of our life is going to be full of problems and turmoil and things like that. But they do come. They do come. Even now, especially now, you see many in turmoil and stress and heartache and depression. So many things going on because of this whole situation with the coronavirus. But I want to share with you the power that we have in sufferings. So this troubled on every side, hard pressed, completely surrounded by troubles. But then he goes on and says, "But you're not distressed." So even though, and this is how I look at it. I remember Black Friday. You see all the video clips of people lined up, packed at the doors. And let's say you just wanted to go out that morning, see what it's like, and you're just crowded. And as soon as that door opens, what happens? There's some people that get trampled on. Some have even died because they've gotten trampled on the way into the store. So our troubles could be like that at times. It's completely hard-pressed. They're all around us, crowding us. But God's word says, "But not distressed," meaning you're not crushed. As I look at it, you're not pressed into the mold. You're not taken advantage of by the world and shaped into what it wanted to do with you. I remember David and Goliath when all of God's army standing there looking out at all the Philistines, and because one guy came up, they thought, "We can't do it." David stood up and he took care of business in the Lord. So we are troubled on every side at times. Sometimes it might not be a big crowd, but sometimes it's pretty big. But we're never in distress. We're never crushed and we're never taken out. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed has this idea that you think you're at this such great loss. You think you have no means at all. You don't know what to do, and it appears that there is actually no way out at all. Like a job loss. Many people have lost their jobs in recent days. Maybe it's temptations, bad habits. All the list could go on, various aspects where you are at this, where you just think you're totally lost, don't know where to go. But yet we're reminded that the Holy Spirit, we can go to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, he knows that the Holy Spirit searches our heart, knows exactly what to say, knows how to present our problem, what's going on before the Lord. But we're never in despair, we're never at an utter loss. That's what despair means, where you truly are destitute. You truly are without hope. But the Word of God says, no. We could be troubled on every side, but we're never in distress. We can be perplexed, not having no idea what's going on or what to do. We could feel like we have nothing left, but we're never in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted means to be pursued after, to be followed after, to be driven away. Word of God makes mention in 2 Timothy 3 there that all who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. The more you shine as a light to this dark world, the more troubles that do come, more persecution that does come your way, because you go against the world. You go against Satan. You go against your flesh and all these other things. That's only going to compound things at times of troubles, maybe a cancer that might come, or sickness that might come, a loss of a loved one, and you have all these other things, like persecution, to be pursued after, fall after. I can't believe you're a Christian. I can't believe you believe this. I can't believe you're going to hurt that person's feeling for living in sin. And the list can go on. So life can have that persecution where you look around like a scary movie or walking alone in the woods and looking all around and you don't know what was that sound. Is something following me? Where's it at? I can't see it. Having that same. But you know what? Word of God says you're not forsaken. 2 Timothy 4:16 also talks about Paul at one time, that no man stood with him. So many people forsook him, turned and left him alone. But he makes a comment. He says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. We're never forsaken. We could be persecuted so much, doing what's right, living for the Lord, but yet this persecution comes. It seems like nobody wants to stand with you. In America, we really don't get to experience that level of persecution. You'd have to maybe go to another country to experience that. It does happen at times here, but not on a consistent level that you'll see in other countries. But in those situations where you're taken out, beating, thrown in jail, and all those things, you're never forsaken because you have the Lord with you. Cast down. Cast down. But not what? But not destroyed. Cast down. We get thrown down. We get tripped up by the world. The world sometimes will just throw you flat-faced on the ground. But you're never at a loss. You're never completely rendered useless. You're never out for the game. You're never, in a sense, laying there in a coma, being utterly helpless. No. You can be cast down. You can be tripped up. You can fall. You can stumble. But you can never be destroyed. Why do I say all these things? That sounds like wonderful news, and it is. Yes, there is a key part to all this. There is a key part when Paul says we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired, in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Imagine walking through this war zone of life. A war zone of life when sometimes it gets hard. Maybe it's persecutions that come. Maybe it's troubles that come, whatever the case may be. But imagine when the dust settles and you're still standing. Now, what does that do for you, knowing that you just witnessed the very power of God because you chose to say, I'm going to allow the Lord in my life. 15 minutes in quarantine we've been looking at. We read that very first, excuse me, the second verse in Romans 5 that says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When we recognize where we stand, our position in Christ, that we're fully identified with Christ, we are truly a child of God. We are His, never to be separated from the love of God. So then when things come in our life, I say, you know what? I will walk by faith. I might not have the answers. I might not know how to get out of this crowd. I don't know how. I don't know who's coming after me or what's going to happen. I feel like I have nothing. Whatever the case may be, you say, I will choose to recognize by faith. I'll step out not knowing, only knowing that the very God that saved me, that made me a new creation, that I'm forever His, is with me, living inside of me, and He will take care of business one way or the other. He will work things out together for good. If you just walk in the Spirit, walk with Him, trust Him, so that when the dust settles, and we've been looking a lot of lately in different messages here, that through that, the Holy Spirit truly witnesses with you. Through that whole time, God's there. He's with you. He got you through it. You can look back and say, thank you, Lord, that I didn't take that road. Thank you, Lord, I didn't look that way or to that person, but I looked to your word and to truth and not what I felt like doing and when I thought I knew the answer. But not only do we benefit out of that, the one part I want to focus on tonight is when we're identified with Christ, Paul goes into this next verse here in verse 10 and 11. He says, always bearing about in the body. Body what? Always bearing out in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The more and more you live for the Lord, unfortunately, not just natural things come, like sicknesses and things like that, but you go against the world. Satan doesn't like that. You're always at battle with your flesh. But going through it all, you will manifest, you will bring about the very life, the very same thing that Christ did. his life, that suffering that he went through, the death on the cross. You're identified in that. So when you come out of all these struggles in life, the dust settles and the world looks at you and says, you're still standing. How are you still standing? How can you come out and still forgive that person? How can you come out still smiling that even though death might be knocking at your door and you don't have much time to live, how can you still have a composure that the rest of the world does not have? Well, you can turn and say, because I know who lives inside of me. That very power of God lives inside of me. And I simply just gave my life to him. Their salvation is talked about in many senses. One, of your soul, that you're guaranteed to be with him forever. But we're also not guaranteed of living forever in this life. We do have to die. It is appointed to die once. But there's a type of salvation we can have today through these struggles of life, that what Romans chapter 8 talks about, that you can still experience life and peace by what? Walking in the Lord. Recognizing when Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When you say to the Lord, when hardships come, I don't know what to do, that's fine. And you give it to him. You don't say, Lord, I don't think you have this, so I'm going to go over here. Don't do that. Don't do that. We are frail. We do falter. We do stumble. But imagine just going through, walking through that trial, coming out on the other end, and being able to shine as a light to this world and say, the Lord Jesus Christ got me through this. His power got me through this. The very same power that got the Lord Jesus Christ through it focused on the love that he had for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That ultimate display of love can now shine in through our life, through his power working in us, coming out of a betrayal of a friend, and coming out in the end saying, I still forgive you, even though that person may never ever say sorry back, never ever care to make any amends. You can say, I still forgive you. You can come through a battle of sicknesses and say, you know what? Whether the sickness wins or whether it doesn't, I can have peace because of my Lord. All these very things, the same thing that went through Christ, we can now display through our life to other people. That's a wonderful thing to do, because so many people are at that verge of being in despair. We as believers never have to experience those things if we just stay focused on the Lord. Hard times will come. We will struggle. We will fall. All these different things. And sometimes we fall so much to the side that we stand up and say, Lord, you don't want me back anymore. No, that's not the case. You can simply do a 180, turn back to the Lord, and these things apply to you. You will come out not being beat up so bad that you can't get back up. You'll come out standing stronger than what you were before. Experiencing God, experiencing his love through it all, and more importantly, what I want to get to you tonight, you have the ability to be a testimony to everyone around you of what the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can do in their life, because they see it done in your life. And that should motivate us even more, not just to say, oh, I love that verse, all things work together for good to them, of God, to those that be called according to his purpose. Not just that, but also allowing that very love to constrain you so much that you will get through this. Because the testimony I'm going to have at the end of this, or going through it, will be such a powerful witness to this dark world by letting this light inside this earthen vessel shine through me. Letting God have the reins. Letting God have every aspect of your life, as Paul in that one prayer said, that allowing Christ to dwell in your body, have access to every part of your body. And we can come out shining for him. Friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he will get you through every situation in life. And even if this life you die, you're still his. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood for your sins, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that we truly have a living God, you will get through this life. And ultimately, when you leave this life, you have now conquered death, because the very one conquered it for you, and you're identified in his. And just as he was raised, we will be raised. we will be fashioned like one day unto his glorious body. It's a powerful thing to be a testimony for our Lord. So I encourage everyone tonight to stand strong in the Lord. Keep pressing on through all the hard times, because there is a true good outcome to all of it. When you stay focused on the Lord, you still might fall, might fail, but you just stay focused on the Lord. You'll come out as a shining testimony, because some will see that. Some will come. You have opportunity to share the love of Christ with them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. May we truly be molded and be changed more into your image. And Lord, as Paul said many times, that we will glory in our tribulations, our struggles, all these different things. Because the things in this life are just temporary. And the things that we can't see, they're eternal. These struggles are temporary compared to the testimony that we can have for those around us to be able to share the glorious message of the gospel with them that can have eternal effects on their soul. Lord, help us to stay strong in you, to be comforted by you, that we live, truly live, and be a sacrifice, a daily sacrifice unto you. Thank you so much for your word and your love for us, for coming to die on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And at this time, we will be recognizing the Lord's Supper memorial. So if you'd like to get your juice and your bread ready.